again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from a snowy radio ranch this January 27th, already the last Saturday in January. If you can imagine that, the time just flies by. But we've got our men on this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I know we've got Brother Josh on there. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Josh is going to bring us our southern perspective this morning. That's kind of what the big boys say, right? They get people from all over. And then I think we got Paul on the line. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and thanks for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit as we get going, but we'll open up with prayer. And Jason, we'll go to you for that one this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, that you tend to the needs of your people, and that you just do a mighty work in this land, Father, as we cry out to you as our Savior and our Deliverer, our stronghold. And we just ask that you cleanse this land, that you purify this land, that you save America again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, we'll have the phone lines open. I'll get the button pushed, 307-745-5913, if you have a question or comment out there. And just before the program, I was asking Josh how that economy looked down south in his neck of the woods as far as jobs. And Josh, if you want to kind of share that with the remnant, what you see down there?
Well, what I see, if a fellow wants to work, there's always been jobs, you know. There's always been ways that we make it. But that's the key ingredient, it seems like, nowadays is, you know, people want a job and they want a paycheck, but they would like to leave out that middle part, which is actually, you know, giving a fair day's work for a fair day's pay.
Yeah, it seems to be that way here. You know, I know a contractor in town, and he's put the word out that he needs two carpenter crews. He said he's got more work. He's a young white contractor, And he's got more work than he can do in 2018. Three houses. He's building a pharmacy right now, and there's work even here in Little Laramie. And he can't get workers. He can't get people that, just like you said, Josh, that want to work. And he could keep 2 4-man crews busy all year, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. I know Colorado is sure booming like crazy as far as work. I don't know where they're getting the workers from. Maybe they're moving in. Had a friend tell me that one county down here, not far away, right in Colorado, that 1,000 people a month were moving into that county. Just don't know if they're all getting work or not. How about with you, Paul? How do you see things out there in the out there in God's country, where you're at, brother?
Well, it's the same old story. If you want to work, there's all kinds. Always has been. You know, they talk about work. You can't hire a white boy to work. There's Mexicans everywhere doing all these jobs. And there always has been work. That's just plain baloney about there ain't no work around. And it has been for a long time. So, yeah, it's the same story. I mean, they got more work than they can do if you're willing to work. So.
Yeah, and that's the way it is down here too. I mean, we got people that if anybody that wants to work, you can go to work, and you can find it. The thing is you know, it's these guys telling you how hard they work and actually working. That's the big difference. I mean, I hear about these kids that, you know, tell me they want to work. No, they want a job and they want a paycheck. They don't want to work. I mean, plain and simple. But it's like we got so many people moving into this area, trying to find, or not trying to, but going to work. I mean, and they're going to work, and they're going to work here, and people are getting scalped off of jobs left and right, getting paid more money, and they're going, you know, going to the next job, and going to the next job, and going to the next job. And then housing's the hard part right now, is because there's no place to put everybody that's working.
Well, they're coming to Colorado to get dope. That's why they're coming there. Take that away, and they probably leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of that, Paul, some friends here in Wyoming were telling me just yesterday that they knew 5 families that had moved into Wyoming that had children with various health problems, MS, autism, things like that, and that these 5 families, independent of each other, had moved into Wyoming for access to the medical marijuana, the CBD oil or whatever it is. I'm not familiar with all that stuff, fortunately, but you know, for medicinal uses for their children. And I thought that kind of caught me unaware. And they had said that each of the families had said that they did not want to move to Colorado, felt the cost of living was too high there, but they were making it work here in the Laramie and Cheyenne area, but that was why. Jason, I don't know if you might have a comment or two on that, but it just kind of caught, like I said, it caught me unaware. I was not familiar with that. And who knows, Wyoming might even see a growth.
But, yeah, and they are. And, I mean, you know, a lot of the neighboring states, even Nebraska has and Kansas has, you know, due to a lot of those reasons. I mean, a lot of people are doing it. You know, I mean, it's one of those controversial subjects, but, I mean, you know, is what it boils down to is, you know, if man's manipulated it so much, like so many of the other plants, you know, and out there. You know, it's, you know, it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of people that, you know, have children with seizures and, you know, autistic children that can really benefit from, you know, especially the high concentration on the CBD part of it. You know, people with cancer and people with, you know, a lot of disease and that are trying to fight inflammation. Now, that's one thing, you know, but you got a whole slew of them that is all they want to do is get high. I mean, it's a... I was coming back from Tennessee on a plane, not too long ago, and you know, I was people, you know, asked me what I was, where I was going, and I said Colorado, and I made the mistake of asking them why they were going to Colorado, and they asked me where I was going. I said, well, I live there. I asked them, and everybody around me was going to Colorado to get high. And just like, boy, it took me back. I mean, I didn't realize that, you know, when you're here, you don't realize what a perception you know, people have of the state of Colorado. When you're sitting someplace and you're sitting down there in Tennessee, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody asks you where you're from and you tell them Colorado, boy, you should see the look on their face. Oh, I'm going to go there. And anymore, you don't even ask why.
Wow. I guess John Denver.
You know, that,
go ahead, Paul.
Okay. No, that whole thing of getting high, see, all they're doing is running from their pain. That's why they want to be high like that and stuff like that. You know, the people don't want to do it God's way. I read a book just recently about, I don't know, have you ever heard of Rife? He had that microscope?
Oh, yeah, Royal E. Rife.
Yeah, it's 17,000 times stronger than a electron microscope. But the difference is you can look at a bacteria under alive. And then this was done in the early 30s already that he did this. And, well, he could, through frequencies, he could destroy cancer.
Yep.
And you know what the two things that feed cancer the most? Pork and mushrooms.
Yep.
Wow.
And he could watch
it grow.
Yeah,
yep.
And that, well, there, that's biblical. I haven't had that in either one of those in close to 30 years. And I always said, science will figure this out before the church does.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a staple in most people's diets. It's hard to get away from, you know, you got to really watch your order soup or anything. It's pork is in everything.
Well, and I've been shocked at how many people that, you know, talking to, it's like, well, I don't eat pork, I don't eat, you know, I keep the food laws, but I sure do like my bacon. That's just one thing that I just, you know, I can't get away from. And it's, you know, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Either you do it or you don't. I mean, you know, and it's, you know, everybody has their deal. Well, not everybody, but a lot of them do it. It's, you know, it's shrimp, it's seafood, it's, you know, well, this is my weakness, and I just can't. You know, if you think that it's bad for you and it's against God's law for you to eat it, then don't eat it. End of story. I mean, it's a little bit different than that. There's a complete difference between that and going out and, you know, ordering a plate of bacon and eggs, or, you know, accidentally getting a drop of bacon grease on your hamburger because it was fried on the same skillet.
Yes, big difference. Big difference.
Yeah, it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. I mean, it's a way of life, you know. I mean, you're going to get into situations where you just can't get away from it, but it's not, you know, it don't have to be a way of life. And for me, you know, a long time ago, you take God at his word, it's the end of the matter. You can add the science later because it's all there.
That is true. Very
yes.
True.
Yes. Well, the shifting gears just a little bit, but still kind of current events. Still seeing massive reports of the flu that's still kind of roaring across the country. Still seeing flu deaths being reported. Not in big numbers, but pieces here and there. And have seen some. Some elderly friends here in town that have come down with it, and just seems to be a mess all over. Don't know if the people out there are getting their flu shot. Hopefully not. Even the people that put the flu vaccines out, the last report, I think I saw it this past week, that they claim that the flu shot is only, at the most, 10% effective. But it still seems that the sheep line up to get that flu shot. If you're not familiar with some of the problems with the vaccines and along those lines, we've got a little information for you that we'd be glad to send to you. But There again, I think it's like you said, Paul, that way of life, or maybe you said it, Jason, you know, following God's food laws is a great first step, is a great preventative, you know, to not only the cancer that was mentioned, but to things like this flu that's you know, floating around.
So I don't know if y'all are having it up there, but it seems like it's epidemic-wise here that the flu and strep have been running in pairs. People don't just hardly get the flu now. Now they're getting the flu and strep. And it appears to be pretty awful whenever somebody comes down with that. I had a guy that works with me that he went in and they diagnosed him and they gave him, you know, a handful of medicine to make him better. And he started taking the medicine. And then he came up with this rash that was just all over his body, just raised red welts, just itching him like crazy, some kind of reaction he had from the medicine. So then he had the flu, strep, and I guess one version of shingles or something, whatever he got from the medicine. So that was pretty bad.
Hmm. Wow.
So we just got to, you know, remember that whenever we do find ourselves in situations where we're speaking, and Jason and I have talked about this for years, and we're still trying to learn it. I think everything's a work in progress. But the first thing you need to do when you get to one of those situations is pray about it.
Yes.
You know, pray that the Lord would heal you and pray that he'd show you what to do, because, you know, you don't have to just pray about something and not do anything and wait on him to come. You pray about it, and you pray about what to do, and you take your vitamins, and you do this, and you do that. And, you know, he's given us a lot of tools that we can use naturally that would help us to be healed.
Yes.
That's, I guess it's always an ongoing conversation, is the health topic, and it ties in directly with as y'all said, with the obeying the food laws, you know, and the effect that it has on every aspect of your health. That's an ongoing conversation with myself and a couple of my friends. And it's hard to convince somebody that the Old Testament's telling them the truth.
Yes, it is. It is. Until they, you know, it just seems like the people are blinded. You know, I think they're told in church on Sunday, at least what I hear from some of them, that, you know, well, that was the old covenant. That's done away with. That's not for us today. You know, don't you know Jesus? And they just, you know, they're lied to on Sunday. And they would rather believe that lie that they're told on Sunday than read the Word and open up their eyes for themselves. Well, guys, let's try a phone call here. I see the phone line ringing. Let's try that this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. My name is Ken. I'm in Wisconsin.
Sure, Ken.
And I'm listening with a very keen interest this morning. I have a couple things I'd like to throw in to you guys. And first, Jason was just talking about, you know, the food laws. And to those people who think that, you know, I loved ham and pork or bacon. I haven't eaten pork of any kind in 35 years or more. But there are substitutes out there. And it's called turkey bacon, which is delicious. And my little dog loves the heck out of it. And there's, if you want ham, turkey smoked ham, tastes just exactly like ham. I've never been without the taste of ham since I quit eating pork. So there is alternatives out there. Now, I'm almost 72 years old. I'm up there with Paul somewhere, and Paul just said something about the Rife machine. And right now, in fact, Joanne, you know Joanne from Wisconsin, I'm sure. She'll probably be calling in on the next prayer meeting for me, because I'm bleeding in places I'm not supposed to be bleeding, but I'm going to go on that Rife machine. I've had one for years, and I'm going to go on it. I started on it last night, and I was really delighted to hear Paul talk about it because I didn't have any faith in it. I bought it for my wife, who was dying of cancer 11 years ago, and I never had no faith in a thing, but I'm going to sure give it a try because now I'm facing the same situation. I don't know what I've got, but I'm going to try and chase it away. And with the prayers and the tools available to me, I hope it works. I'll let you guys hash that over now. I won't take up a whole lot of your time. I just wanted to throw that in, okay?
All right, Ken. Thank you, and we will keep you in prayer. We will.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, Ken.
Bye.
Thank you. Well, that Rife machine might have a little more popularity, at least in some circles, than we thought, huh?
Oh, definitely. You know, all minerals resonate at a certain frequency. That's a big deal. But, you know, I've thought about that, why that was never allowed to the market. And I believe that God didn't let that go on the market because God delights in destroying his people if they won't keep their commandments. That's, you know, if you had that, you could just go on doing whatever you want to do and just go to get your little treatment once a month or whatever it is, and you could do that. And I believe that God kept that from going to the market for that very reason. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that, you know, I've noticed too. You know, people are, you know, no matter what they're facing, you know, if they got gout, if they've got so many of these different diseases, I mean, they're plagues upon their people because they won't keep the food laws, and that's one, you know, the main number one thing. And you start telling people, you know, you need to change your ways, you need to quit eating this, you need to stop eating that, you know, and they just want a pill, they just want something that they can just, you know, can take a pill and not have it affect their lifestyle and not have to do any of those changes. And that just, you know, really shows you how selfish people are. I mean, that's an act of selfishness.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, Paul, maybe you know, I don't know, maybe some of you guys do, I don't know. Where did the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, where did that come from? Does anybody apple? Know the, an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
That's coming from an apple grower. What do you think?
Yeah, probably, right? Like Florida orange juice, good for you, right? But you know what? What if it's true? You know, what if it's true? We've heard that so long. I mean, you know, that's something that you can do. But like you said, Jason, people don't want to do. They just want the blessings regardless. They want good health, and if they don't have it, they want a pill. They don't want to do the push-ups. They don't want to do the control their appetite. They don't want to not overeat. They want to do whatever they want to do and still get the blessings. And that is not how God works. That is certainly not Christianity. That is not what Christ came and died on the cross for. But that seems to be the theme these days. You know, we've talked in the past about the opioid crisis. The people that the 60,000 a year dying overdosing on these methadone drugs because it's and I don't lump everybody in there. There's people that have had wrecks, that have had problems, that go on that stuff for a short term, but that's where it should be. But in this life, we are. We have a set of rules. We have a set of guidelines. Thou shalt and thou shalt not kind of things. And when we follow them, for the most part, we are blessed for following those rules and regulations, those laws, those however you want to call it, suggestions, those type things. But if the people like the caller said, you know, hey, he hadn't had ham in so long. Well, there's substitutes. There's other things you can do. But when you want to be selfish, if you're going to be selfish and stubborn and deny the truths of the Bible, well, you know, eat whatever you want, lead the lifestyle you want. Well, then guess what? You're going to get what comes with that. It's just the way it is.
Well, I told a chiropractor that story just recently, and I told him about the ham and the mushrooms. He said, well, I got no problem with the ham. He said, I love mushrooms. I said, well, enjoy whatever you want to do. You know, it's God's word. Take it or leave it. See, and that's why we have all this denominationalism. People, I believe the number one reason people go to church for the most reason is to look good in the community. They want to look accepted. Yes. Oh, I go to church. I have my friend. He's Roman Catholic, and when I quit going to church, he wanted me to go to any church. He didn't care which one I went to, but he says, you got to go to church, you know. But that's so ingrained in people, just going to church, that makes you a Christian. It don't mean, Christianity is a government, a self-regulating government. I just read the story of Samuel, when the people chose a king. And, see, God wants self-Christian regulation, you know. You don't have to be regulated by anybody. You just take care of yourself. And you make your, you know, you do what he says. But the, see, this whole denomination is absolutely bizarre. Because, and it's all to justify they have their little pet peeve that they like, and they argue with the other guy, and then that keeps them going. So, anyway, that's my take on it.
Yeah, how good can it be? You know, God, like you said, Paul, he gives us the ability and the opportunity to self-govern. But so many people just, you know, can't handle that, you might say, or won't.
No, they're not seeking it. I mean, it's cold out there as far as people wanting to be find out what God has to say. Thing. They wanted to, they wanted to reduce everything to their mind. You know, one of the biggest liberating verses in the Bible that I read is it said, rely not on your own understanding. That means the truth is outside of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the enemy put out, you know, many years ago, and you see it pop up every now and then, you know, I think, therefore I am. And that is blasphemy before God. He, the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has given us the ability to think, as opposed to just the instincts of a dog or a cow or a bear or an elephant. He gives us the ability to think, but that does not make us God. But man, apart from God, thinks that it does, and it doesn't. We have our guidelines. You know, a society without laws has never lasted. Boy, it seems like that we're in a law, certainly in a lawless society, and sometimes you just wonder if it's getting better or getting worse.
What does the word evangelical mean?
I don't know. What does it mean? Be Christ-like?
And I think I heard it. I don't want to second witness, but I think I heard it means New Testament is what it amounts to. Huh. And if see in their evangelical churches, that means they're New Testament. If you had the Old Testament, they look at you like you're crazy. You know, would you build a house without a foundation? I mean, that's what, if you, I had a nephew, he was having trouble, and I bought him a Bible, and I said, no, everybody tell you start in John. I said, you start in Genesis right in the front.
Yeah.
You start right in the front, and you see, because they've separated us from the law, and all these people believe it. And when you do the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, if you start reading the curses, you can't believe it's not in effect. There's something the matter with you. Divorce being one of the major ones, you know, the breakdown of the family. You know, and you've got all these children being raised by divorced women, and you're making a bunch of queers and useless people that won't do nothing because they want to pamper them.
Yeah.
You know, if there ain't a man in the house, a man and a woman work together is a perfect situation. But when they don't work together, it's murder. I got two families that I deal with. One's religious and one's not. And the man and the woman work together, and all the kids are squared away in that situation. One, you know, one is church going, one isn't. But the family, the outcome is the same. But when that family is solid, I mean, the children are solid, and that's what's going on today. It's just a breakdown of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that.
Like,
go ahead, Josh.
like we were talking about earlier with the food laws, and we get into these debates with people, and, you know, they just about want to tear the Old Testament out of their Bible, and I try to take the most simplistic approach, and, you know, so those laws aren't good for us, you know, the law's been done away with, and this and that, and that. So was it, okay, well, is it now okay to murder and steal and lie? Oh, no, of course not. Now you're being, that's all there, too. So, I mean, if you're going to rip out one page, rip out the other.
Yep.
You know, just, you can't have part of it.
Yeah, that's back to that, I think, what Paul talked about, the denominations. You know, you got people that on their own think, well, I don't think that this is for today. And they find people that feel the same way, and boom, there's a denomination. And the further they get away from the word, the worse it gets. And we've seen that. We've seen for years denominations with women pastors, and the Bible, even in the New Testament, says that women aren't to teach in church, that you're not to have a woman, teach and exercise authority over man in the church. It's as simple as that.
Or at home.
That's true as well. And getting the as you said earlier, Paul, the man out of the house. See, that I think was one of the big tenets of the Civil Rights Act of 1965, was for the black community to get the black. I think that was a test to see what they could do, because, you know, you look before 1965, our prisons weren't 60% black. The black man was in the home. The black families were a unit. They were a family unit. And blacks owned businesses. Now, certainly you had, you know, they went to their schools and had their communities. But you look at that now, and since then, in the 52 years since then, the black community has been, as a whole, has been destroyed. The outlook for a black youth today in America is not good. Is not good for them at all. And now that has carried over in the last 20 years into the white race, to where the white man has been taken out of the home. And we are seeing the exact same thing happen with the whites that's happened with the blacks. You take the man out of the home, and then it's the women, like you said, Paul, it's the women raising the children, and the men are out acting like baboons, and wanting the money, moving to Colorado so they can just have that Colorado Rocky Mountain high, and it is disaster. It absolutely is, and it's by design.
I think you got it backward, Richard. All the other races look to the white man for law and order, and I think the white man has let this go before, and I think the other races suffer because of us. We have left our God. You know, we've been infiltrated since 1900 in the cemeteries. At seminary, that actually a slip of tongue, but that's it. But it's backwards. See, one of the curses of the Bible is when the women and children rule over you, and you start letting the women rule over you. I was a youth leader in a church I was raised in, and I had 30-some kids coming out of this church. I mean, I had a really good thing going. I started figuring out what was going on. Anyway, Charles Stanley, I was listening to him back then. He had the father every child needs. So I put a notice in the bulletin that all the fathers meet in this room after church, and I set their little butt down, and they listened to an hour sermon from Charles Stanley on that, and their wives are sitting out in the car. And anyway, there was a two-part series. I don't think anybody come back the second week. But those men are the problem.
Yes.
I mean, they're the men, you know, hey, maybe it's better to live alone than with a contentious woman, you know. it's backwards. See, the Adamic race was put here to straighten out this world, and Satan took him down, and Jesus the second Adam. I mean, that's a philosophical and big picture, but the white man makes the rules, and America was a republic, and it's been destroyed from the inside out, and it's because the men have let it go.
Yeah, that's certainly where the responsibility lies, is with the men, with the fathers.
That's right. A woman cannot rape a man, period. It's all the other way around.
Yeah. And it's just a responsibility that falls on the man. You know, it's not the woman that leaves her family and takes a husband. It's the man who leaves his mother and father and takes a wife. You know, I've married off two daughters, and you know, in those ceremonies, I have given them to their husbands, because God gave them to me, and He gave the responsibility to me to be over them, to be responsible for them. And when they got married, we gave that, their mother and I gave that to their husband, and that's where the responsibility was.
Where I was going with that story, what I learned out of it, the women got the job of raising them children by default, because the men were involved in their sports, their farming, and whatever it was. They were all involved in themselves, and the women were raising those children out of default. It ain't that they even wanted it, but things sure have deteriorated since then.
Yeah, and now it's the daycare that's raising them.
Kind of a mess, ain't it?
It is. It is. And figure this out economic-wise. They opened up a new daycare up here in town. It was an old bank building closed down. Actually, it was a nice bank building. It closed down. But they converted it to a daycare. And I don't know how many people they have, kids or children they have up there. But they have them from in diapers, I mean in the crib and up. And it's $1,000 a month if you sign up for like the 9-month plan. You know, if you contract with them for the year, then the best rate you get is $1,000 a month. I mean, how much is it? I mean, you know, people, and I know people that are in town that they make about $1,800 to $1,900 a month, and they pay these people out here $1,000 a month to raise their kids all day. Is it me?
That's not an escape for the people. You run a pencil to that. They can't afford to do that.
But they do. It's what they do.
Yeah, they're escaping the responsibility, what it amounts to.
Yeah. And they just don't see it. They just don't see it. I kind of see that as, Paul, like your friend telling you, well, you got to go to some church. You know, you got to go to church somewhere. Doesn't matter where. But you got to go, and it's almost like that. You know, you have to work. That's what these people think. You have to work. And I'm talking not single women, but families, husbands and wives, and he's up and off at work, and she's dropping the kids off at daycare, and then she's off to work all day.
But you know, there's nothing. Proverbs 31 is an industrious woman. There's nothing wrong with being industrious as long as you take care of your family first. I mean, there's different ways of doing things.
Sure.
You know, it ain't like it's cut and dried what you have to do. But I mean, your children have to be first. You have to love your children. You have children because you love them. You know. I mean, to me, it's the only thing that lasts. Everything I've done in my life will be gone except for my children. So. You know, that was just born that way, but I guess everybody isn't. Because, well, you know, materialism takes over. They think they got to have this, and there's nothing lasts. And when you're materialistic, when you get that one where you got to get something new, so it's an ongoing war.
Yeah, it is. Well, hey, let you know, Paul, got a text from a Christian brother, and he said, I didn't know mushrooms were bad. And, said won't be eating them anymore, so that's good. You know, that's a good positive. That's a good positive influence right there. And for the one we hear about, there's 100 out there that we don't that are along the same lines.
biblically, it's the fruit of the wood. See, mushrooms all die on dead stuff. They grow on dead stuff. And that's why they're so destructive.
Well, folks, we have a few minutes left here, about 20 minutes left on the broadcast this morning. You're tuned in to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, coming to you on your phone. If you dial the number on shortwave, on internet, it's going out in everything but smoke signals. And so the message is going out. And if you want to call in, the phone number is 307-745-5913. And if you have a question or a comment.
I got a comment on food quality. I have in front of me a report from Rutgers University, and this is organic as best conventional grown tomatoes. Iron, there's 1,938 parts per million in organic tomato. There's one part per million in a conventional tomato. Manganese, there's 68 parts per million, one part per million in a conventional. And it just right across the board, it's according to this report, it's about 87% less minerals in the stuff the way food is raised today. And this has a lot to do with mentality of people and their health and their industry and everything. You know, I've gotten into this sap testing on plants lately, and the guy says that he deals with excesses is a far bigger problem than deficiencies in plants. And then we take the leaves off the plants, the old and the new, and we compare it, and we can see what that plant is doing. And we've had some major advances in quality. I have a blueberry grower. You get 17,500 pounds per acre on 68 acres, which is a lot. The state average is 7,000 pounds. But it graded 99%, which is, we've had that production for 10 years or more, but we have not had that grade. And iron and manganese were the two big players in that, making that difference. See, manganese actually by itself is actually an insecticide. A bug will not get near a plant that's healthy.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot to that. I mean, and I think that that's got a lot to do with the mental health of people. You look around, everywhere you look, there's people on these antidepressants. And it's been interesting to me because the DO that that I talk to quite a bit here in town, she tells me that every single test that comes back, she said they've been testing people for, you know, their minerals. And she said everybody's mineral deficient. She said if somebody comes in with a mental, you know, what the establishment would call a mental health issue, depression, anxiety, anything like that, she said she automatically goes to minerals and starts checking their minerals out. And she said they are virtually have no minerals in their body. And, you know, even talking to them, well, I eat vegetables and I eat this and that. Well, they're not getting it from their vegetables. They're not getting it. There's a plant that you can have a tomato that's sitting there on the shelf that looks good, but there is no nutrient dense value in that tomato. There is nothing there. It looks good. It might taste all right, but that's it. You can get, and at the same time, you can get something that was grown good properly with the minerals in a mineral-rich environment, and it's healthier. And it's equivalent to eating, you know what, 6 million tomatoes versus one.
Wow. Well, guys, we got a couple phone calls here. Let's try a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I wondered if you wouldn't mind continuing your mushroom discussion. Is there something biblical verses that relate to that?
Yeah, it's the fruit of the wood. I can't tell you where it is, but I know it's in there.
Called the fruit of the wood?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Fruit of the wood.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I'll see what I can find. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, thank you. And we got another caller here. Oh, we had one. Well, 307-745-5913. So, hey, the thought occurred to me. So what can people do for this mineral deficiency? that the plants aren't grown, you know, the soil does not have the minerals. What can we do?
Well, grow your own food is a good start. And then knowing what to do is another problem. Since World War II, everything in agriculture has been produced, has basically been run by the bank to get another payment out of the guy, so he's got to farm right through land sales and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's just a whole different world, and I don't know how we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I'll tell you what's going on here right now in Michigan. We have a milk production overproduction that's just phenomenal, and everybody's adding on cows, and the price of milk is going to the bottom, and there's... And I had a story last week. There's like five of this guy's neighbors have zero equity in their farm, and they're milking 1,500 cows. That means they have no equity. They have no money. The bank owns it, and they're out there slaving away. But I think what's going to come down, I've heard two reports now where the cows would not eat the feed. This Roundup is it's an antibiotic is what it is, and it sterilizes the soil and the feed and everything else it does. I had a story told to me last year that this guy sold the seed corn. The guy called him up and said, I want you to come over here and see this. He had a big pile of silage there, and he says, those cows will not eat it. It looked good, it produced good, but the cows won't eat it.
Wow.
Now, you're going to see a major die-off here, I think, in a real short time. I don't really know for sure, but it looks pretty disastrous, because this one guy this farmer I deal with, he's a good farmer, and I've been telling him, I said, you get away from that Roundup Ready corn. And there's other, I know an honest one, they've got away, they didn't like what they see enough from what the cows were acting. If you know your cows and start, you can start seeing this stuff, what's going on. But I says, you just buckle your seatbelt. I said, that milk might be real valuable in a short time, because these big guys all raise Roundup Ready corn, and it is it's a bomb, and it hasn't gone off yet. What's gone off, it just ain't had all the ramifications of it. So, I guess we got to change our ways, is what it amounts to.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Looks like a Christmas tree over here on the phone book bank, so let's try some calls. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Great.
Good. Glad to hear it. I appreciate your Saturday program. It's the highlight of my week, so thank you. I just wanted to go back in conversation a little bit. Oh, probably about a month ago, John had brought up fasting. And I wanted to mention to everybody listening that you may want to check it out. I know I got it free off of Amazon Prime if you have a membership, but it's a one-hour documentary called The Science of Fasting. And it was absolutely incredible what happens at a cellular level when you fast and the benefits of it. So, once again, the title of it was, I believe, The Science of Fasting, about 57 minutes long. So, if you got a short attention span like I do, it's not too taxing. It's certainly worth checking out.
Great.
And I wanted to comment one another thing, if I could, and I'll let you all go. Anything I've read about cancer is... The other gentleman mentioned mushrooms, and I can't speak to that, but the environment that I've read that cancer loves is anaerobic and glucose-rich, meaning there's very little physical activity to introduce oxygen to the body. So if you're sitting still, it invites cancer. And if you eat glucose, fructose, any type of sweetener, sugar is essentially poison to this creation, to our bodies. So if you load up on a bunch of sugar and you sit still, it invites cancer.
Well, that's not necessarily true I've got to correct you there, because you know this is the land of milk and honey, and this is Scripture refers to that, you know, time and time again. And honey is also a sugar, and you know, God would, you know, we didn't come here not to eat honey. You know, it's like people that say we didn't come here to drink. We're not supposed to drink milk. You know, that's and then so that's not. You know, I do agree with you that, you know, once you have cancer, it'll feed off that sugar, and it does, does thrive in that kind of environment, but that's not to say that all sugar is bad.
Yeah.
In moderation, Jason, I would think, yeah, and honey being a natural sugar, I think where the real poison lies is, you know, granulated table sugar, where all the nutrients is removed from it, from the so-called enrichment of sugar. It's like enriched flour. what do they do when they enrich flour? They remove the nutrients.
they do completely the opposite. They do, Richard.
Yes. So anyhow, thank you so much. I appreciate your comment on that. And like I said, moderation. Yeah, honey.
Amen.
That's how I choose to, sweeten my coffee and things like that. I try to use more natural sugars, but in moderation.
Amen.
You know, that high fructose corn syrup and things like that, just absolutely bad news. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
One of the things that you have with the high fructose corn syrup is it comes straight from GMO corn.
Yeah, that's bad all the way around. We've got a couple more callers. We'll try to get them in here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Rangers.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, I didn't know if I was on.
Yes.
This is Irene in Texas, and I don't like to call in. But about the mushrooms, I had a brother here, one of our brothers, the ministry brothers, that reminded me. I was telling him about I was cooking mushrooms one day, and he said, "We're not supposed to eat those." And I said, "What?" And he said, and then what he reminded me, and I've looked this up, they're not from a seed. You know, the vegetables should be from a seed. It's a fungus. So that's why we're not supposed to eat those. And I thought, oh, right, that's true. So I'm more careful now when I look at a vegetable, even at the farmer's market. Did that come from a seed? Because, there's all sort of weird vegetables now that I've not known in my lifetime.
Right.
And so he reminded me of that, and I thought, well, that's a good reminder. I hadn't thought about that. It does come in a fungus, it's not a seed.
Amen.
So I'll get off. Thanks.
All right, Miss Irene, thank you. God bless. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Not that one. Let's try this one. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Praise God. We have much to be thankful for, I think.
Amen.
Even listening in on you for you guys, I forgot it was Saturday. And so I went down and did some paperwork, and I just flicked the radio on, and there you were. So that's great. I missed most of the show, I believe. But you guys, I caught on the short wave. It was fading in and out a little bit. So I heard you mention something about Rutgers, and I missed the gist of it. But I wanted, and since you were talking about gardening and vegetables and weed control and things, Rutgers University did a study back in the 70s or early 80s. I think it was in conjunction with another agricultural extension service. And they found that the most effective non-chemical method of controlling weeds is to simply just hoe your garden and just chop off the top growth and just leave it in the garden, and it'll go back into the soil eventually. It'll dry up, and it will be indistinguishable in a few weeks. And from walking on it and things, it'll just go back into the soil and then nourish, particularly your deep-rooted perennials like the docks and the carrot-related plants and so forth. The long roots break through the hard pan and allow, when the root eventually dies, it creates a channel for worms. And it brings up soil nutrients that have been locked in the hard pan for decades. And the study went on to say that every 15 days, the root from the weed will deplete itself, trying to replenish the biomass, the top growth. And at the end of 15 days, just come back and lop it off again. And this way you will deprive the root of nutrition that would be gotten from the photosynthesis. And you also mentioned something about replacing minerals, and I didn't get that either. But the one thing that I do to replace the minerals that are taken out of the soil by garden vegetables is wood ashes. Just simply get procure hardwood ashes from wherever source you can, even if you have to go and burn a bunch of, you know, branches and things, and gather it all up, save it, and then in the fall, just sprinkle it on your garden soil or around your plants, and that's how the colonists here in America used to do that all the time. And actually, people all over the world do controlled burns in order to revitalize the soil that's been depleted for, you know, from agriculture.
Right. Right. All right, Joe. Well, Joe, thanks for the information. We're about out of time, so
okay.
We'll say goodbye. Hey, thanks, brother. Thanks
okay.
for the info. All right.
Right. Bye. Right.
Paul, you had a closing comment?
I don't know where to start. I've said enough. No, but our the way we farm is definitely affecting our attitudes and people and our lack of work. We have totally forgotten God in this country. He has a lot to say about everything. That book is a science book, whether you believe it or not. And
yeah.
Take him at his word and just start doing what he said, and you'll be a lot better off. And, you know, everybody's got their theories. You know, like Joe had some ideas. You know, I got a garden. I'd like to have him come over here and straighten out a little bit with his 15 days. I think the weeds will outbeat him. But anyway, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. And callers, thanks for calling. And listeners, thanks for listening in. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We're planning on church starting at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 Mountain. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. And join us. We'll have some little bit of everything for you, from a timeless pulpit truth to a live message to communion, some music. So don't forsake the assembly. Come and fellowship, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Well, guys, thanks again, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Stay high! none other God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man.